First and foremost, I want to share something from the book E.M. Bounds on Prayer. E.M. Bounds on Prayer is chapter 5. It's called Prayerless Christians. It's a couple paragraphs, but I believe it's worth sharing. And it reads, "The progress to consummation of God's work in this world has two basic principles: God's ability to give and man's ability to ask. Failure in either one is fatal to the success of God's work on earth. God's inability to do or to give will put an end to redemption. Man's failure to pray would just as surely set a limit to the plan. But God's ability to do and to give has never failed and cannot fail. But man's ability to ask can fail and often does. Therefore, the slow progress which is being made toward the realization of a world won for Christ lies entirely with man's limited asking. There is need for the entire church of God on the earth to betake itself to prayer. The church on its knees would bring heaven on the earth. The wonderful ability of God to do for us is expressed by Paul in one of his most comprehensive statements. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, he says, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Study, I pray you, that remarkable statement. God is able to make all grace abound. That is, he is able to give such sufficiency that we may abound, overflow to every good work. Why are we not more fully fashioned after this overflowing order? The answer is lack of prayer ability. We have not because we ask not. We are feeble, weak, and impoverished because of our failure to pray. God is restrained in doing because we are restrained by reason of our non-praying. All failures in securing heaven are traceable to the lack of prayer or misdirected petition. Prayer must be broad in its scope. It must plead for others. Intercession for others is the hallmark of all true prayer. When prayer is confined to self and to the sphere of one's personal needs, it dies by reason of its littleness, narrowness, and selfishness. Prayer must be broad and unselfish, or it will perish. Prayer is the soul of a man or woman stirred to plead with God for men and women. In addition to being interested in the eternal interests of one's own soul, it must, in its very nature, be concerned for the spiritual and eternal welfare of others. One's ability to pray for self finds its climax in the compassion and its concerns that are expressed for others." E.M. Bounds on Prayer, Chapter 5, titled Prayerless Christians. Tonight I want to share with you something that Pastor McKnight and I had talked about briefly earlier in the week, and God has moved me to share this with you, and it's about hope. Hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." I want to talk to you tonight about hope. You see, we can talk about the history of man in this world, but it's the history of God that saves us, frees us, blesses us, and keeps us from all hurt, harm, and danger that's not according to his will and purpose in us. Hope is our topic for our discussion. We will talk about two categories of hope: God and human hope. However, we will focus on God. What is hope? Human hope has been defined as the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. The key word in our human hope is feeling. We feel good, we feel bad. We feel happy, we feel sad. We feel encouraged, we feel discouraged. Our feelings are very much subject to change. On last Wednesday night, I shared this with the body. When I graduated high school, my hope was to get a degree in electrical engineering, get a high-paying job, and take care of my mom for all the troubles she had raising me. During my first semester in college, she died, and my hope died. That career died. That interest died. And I needed to be born again. My hope became self-deception, self-betrayal, and self-denial and hopelessness. However, the Bible uses the word hope to reveal a direct connection to the purpose and will of God. Let me give you an example. Romans 4, 17 to 21 says this: "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope." Now, putting in the meaning of those words, it would read more like this: who against his feelings, hope, believed in God, hope, that he might become the father of many nations. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, faith and hope are definitely, along with love, connected. For faith is our belief and trust in God. Hope is our expectation of our trust and belief in what God said. So we begin our life with him by believing and trusting in him through Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our hope is that these things God said are literally happening and going to happen. In Romans 4:18, again the phrase, he believed in hope. This word uses hope, but not as a feeling that Abram had. For Abram's hope meant that it went beyond his feelings and his ability to do anything about what God said. He couldn't make any of it happen, even if he wanted to. No matter how much he wanted to, he could not make himself a father of many nations. Therefore, his hope was that he trusted and believed in God. If we have a well-grounded expectation, this well-grounded expectation is our belief and our trust in God through Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is transforming us by the renewing of our mind, and we are sacrificing our bodies as well as our mind, as well as our soul, to that end. That end is salvation. So if we have a well-grounded expectation of our resurrection and our final glorification, knowing that they are unseen and in the future. They're both unseen and in the future. And we must, for a certain period of time, still yet believe, having not seen and have not been at that future date for its manifestation. Because we trust and believe in God, and because our hope is an expectation that what God said, he is able to perform it, we wait patiently for that manifestation. We continue patiently to endure the trials, the tribulations, the prejudice, the discrimination, the persecutions that we may be exposed to in the consequences of our Christian profession. He said we would be persecuted. We will also, in our hope, that hope really is God, that we will have to endure some ills in this life according to his purpose. You see, hope, who is God, is a blessing. He is one of the greatest gifts that he has given us through his son, Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:25. And we say, to God be the glory for all of the things that he has done. Why do we have this hope? We have it because what God said was and still is exactly what he did and will do. So according to historical documents, to kind of clear up some of the differences that may be out there in understanding human hope and hope, who is God, according to historical documents, the original manuscripts in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek text used about 11,280 words. These 11,280 words were translated into Old English, which at the time only had about 6,000 words to choose from. So the translators had to use the same English word for several different Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that were closest to the meaning of the original word. This is the error, and why it is essential, necessary, required for us to read and study God's word daily, constantly, consistently. And yes, 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 we need study materials, such as access to a Hebrew and Greek dictionary. We need to have access to the history of the times and environment of the writer. Commentaries are also very helpful. The point here is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workwoman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've said it, I'll say it again. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit is our hope, not our feelings, not our desires, not our wants, not our expectations. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit is our hope. Now, in the Old Testament, God, who was hope, came through the word of his prophets and dreamers of dreams. For example, Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22 said it like this. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now in the New Testament, different. We see in Acts 23 and 6, it says this, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the God and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Acts 26 and 6, he said, and now I stand and am judged for the hope, the God, of the promise made of God alone unto our fathers. The New Testament, New Covenant has its foundation on what God did in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. You see, in the New Testament, it is laid on the same spirit and foundation of hope, who is God. Now, in the meaning in the Greek, in the New Testament means favorable and confident expectation. So this meaning is not about good or bad. It's not about right or wrong, but is connected to God's purpose, his will, and his time for us individually and collectively. The hope we have has already happened in Christ. The hope we have has already happened. Therefore, we have a favorable and confident expectation that not only was Christ born of a virgin, not only did he live, not only was he put on the cross, not only did he go to the grave, not only was he resurrected from that grave, not only did he ascend back into heaven to sit on God's right hand side, he is making intercession for us even right now. The hope we have has already happened. Didn't need anything from us to happen. God did this on his own for us, and even while we were yet in sin. Listen to what it says in Romans 8 and 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in us. And he does. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. His hope has to do with both the unseen and the future continuously. God's hope has to do with both the unseen and the future continuously. Let's look at what it says in Romans 8, 24 and 25. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do wait with patience for it. Hope describes the following things. It's not is these things, but describes these things. Hope describes the anticipation of joy in God, the foundation in whom our hope is based. Hope describes the Spirit of God upon whom it is our hope is fixed. We see how God works and how he worked so that we know that there's nothing that we could do to help him. In order to see these examples, I went back as he led me to Genesis 1, 3 to 31, but I'm not going to read them, but I just want to pull out some points from it to validate and prove that God did this on his own. In Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 3 to verse 31, we kept hearing a familiar phrase, and God said, followed by and God said were the following: let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God's word establishes and reveals how God's purpose and will works. He said it, it happens. He said it, it happens. He said it, it happens. The word hope, the word hope is one of God's greatest gifts to us. When we engage in hope, who is God, we have confessions that verify, validate, and prove that it is our favorable expectation concerning our trust and belief in God in what he has said he will do, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. Here are some scriptures that I believe validate that. So when we have a hope who is God, our confession goes to Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything, any praise, we meditate, think, and speak on these things. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and that experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our present day reality was foretold by God to Abraham in Genesis 15:12-14. And what do I mean? Our presence here in this country was foretold in Genesis 15:12-14. Here's what it said. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. This is why we were dispersed all over the world. This is God's purpose and will as revealed to Abram. Therefore, the examples of the treatment, slavery, bondage of God's people in Egypt and Babylon were foretold by God along with our horrific experiences that continue even to today. Because the 400 years is not up. It's not over. You see, our sin today and always will be against God and our rejection of his commandment. But our hope is in Christ, as Paul experienced this, and he shares it in Philippians 4:11-13. He said it like this: "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everything and in all things I am instructed by my hope, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, the hope of glory, which strengthens me." What do we say? It is our hope that God will bring us out, just as he did in Egypt, just as he did in Babylon. Let us focus our hope not on feelings, not on desires, not on wants. And although those things have their place, but our primary, essential, our required focus should be God through Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. For it is in them we live and move and have our being. We cannot be overcomers without them. We cannot be more than conquerors without them. Therefore, our hope, our favorable expectation that God is doing exactly what he said he will do in us and for us individually and collectively, they are our hope. So tonight, I want to encourage us to understand the difference between our feelings that are hope and the hope that is God. Understanding the difference between the two will not only help us in following after God and his purpose, but they will also inspire and empower us to become better prayer warriors and intercessors for each other. Will help us to understand how to allow God to remove us from our feelings and to strengthen us in his love. Where you are, where I am, and where we are is because of God. He is our hope, our one and only hope for survival, for healing, for deliverance, for protection and guidance. He is